This Day in History with Kevin Allen and Bill Shiwe on KJC Country 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
It is that time already at 7:16, 57 degrees. We got a few clouds hanging around, southwest wind at 6. We got this guy hanging around with us on a Tuesday morning, my buddy Bill Shiwe. Good morning, Bill.
Good Tuesday morning to you, sir.
How are things with you, my friend?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you wanted to dial up a perfect day yesterday, yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was a perfect day. And you know what? It can be 69 today. But you know what? I look at my notes here and it says, welcome to Michigan, because it looks like people, get your suits back on, your swimsuits, because it looks like it's going to go back to the 90s.
Yep, it's going to start warming up again. By Sunday, mid-80s, and Labor Day Monday, in the mid to upper 80s. So, yeah, it's looking good for the holiday weekend.
Well, it's looking good for today, because I have a good one for you, B. It's one I don't think I've featured before. But it's a food. It's Chop Suey Day.
It is Chop Suey Day, and I'm going to guess it's that day because this must be the day it was invented.
I'll go with that. I don't have that down, but okay, I'll write that down. It was the day it was invented. I don't know, because there are so many different stories out there again about it. It's not something specific. I do have it coming from Chinese Americans who were working in America during that period of time, the late 1800s, and they were working on railroads, they were working in mines, they were also cooks, and those are different stories. I do have one I think would be a good one. It says 1896, a Chinese ambassador by the name of Li Hongxiong, he tells his cooks that there are a bunch of dignitaries coming here. And like I said, he's a Chinese ambassador, and he wants to impress them. So he told them, says, get us something that would be a part of our country, but maybe something they wouldn't mind enjoying. And so they put this together, and he went out to the, he went in the kitchen to see what's going on, and he asked them, what do you got? I guess in Chinese. And they said, odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
And he said, that's good, odds and ends.
And so, is that, does chop suey mean odds and ends in their language?
It does.
Really?
You probably got the cue there. Yes, that's what it means, odds and ends. So if you look at a picture like I did today, it does look like odds and ends.
Yeah, it does. You know, you can pretty much throw anything in there if you want and just call it chop suey, yeah.
Well, one of the founders in 1922 of La Choy, one of the founders actually was a prof at the University of Michigan, and La Choy was actually based in Detroit in the beginning. The start, we don't know exactly when La Choy Chop Suey got started, but the company got started. And I will, for those of you around during the 60s, there was an ad that was featured, and it was Delbert the La Choy Dragon.
Ooh, I don't remember that. Wow.
From Muppets.
Man, I do not remember that. I remember their jingle about, you know, La Choy makes Chinese food that swings American. I remember that.
Well, those of you that remember that, it's Delbert La Choy. And my last question for the day for all of you, would you rather have rice or chow mein noodles with your chop suey?
Oh, I love chow mein noodles.
All right. That takes the chop suey, not the cake. That takes the I'm going to start with this one because I forgot it, and it's a kind of good one for Kevin. Ooh. 2009, Jack Ingram, country singer, breaks the Guinness World Record on 2009 for most radio interviews in a 24-hour period.
Oh, how did I not get to interview him in 2009 and be part of that record-breaking interview process? Wow.
215 interviews in the United States and Canada, and he was talking about his new album, Big Dreams, High Hopes.
Wow, I like Jack Ingram, too. He's had quite a few good songs, but I don't even remember that from 2009. That's pretty clever.
I shouldn't have brought it up, should I?
That's right. Now I have bad feelings about Jack Ingram.
Don't worry, you'll get a phone call.
That's right.
1893, Whitcomb Judson invents and patents today something that we really need, but back then it was for shoes. It was called the chain lock fastener, and then it got changed to the slide fastener, and it was the forerunner of the zipper.
Of the zipper. Wow. A zipper sounds much better than chain lock fastener.
It does. And I did find out that 1923 is when B.F. Goodrich decided to put it on boots. And from then on, young people who put on their boots and those things had the toughest time in school. I'm going to tell you something. I remember those zippers. And, you know, you finally walked around because you couldn't get them. When you're out on recess running around, it froze up.
Yeah, I remember my mom used to use pliers to try and pull those zippers up at home on our way to school. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I guess there's a famous roller coaster called the Zipper, right?
There is a Zipper. You're right. I think is it at Cedar Point, I think, had the Zipper.
I think you're right, yes. 1953, this fastest mouse in all of Mexico makes its cartoon appearance today.
Sure. Speedy Gonzalez.
Yes, and it was in a little cartoon called Cat Tails for Two. In real life, this is kind of a trivia, there was really a Speedy Gonzalez man.
No kidding. That I did not know.
He was the artist who did a lot of the graphics, and he was called Speedy Gonzalez. His name was Frank Gonzalez. He was called Speedy Kevin because he was one of the fastest at drawing anyone.
Wow. So a real live Speedy Gonzalez.
Exactly. And do you know who Speedy Gonzalez's cartoon cousin was?
No, I don't.
Slowpoke.
Slowpoke. I should have thought of something just the opposite of Speedy. Speedy and Slowpoke, huh?
Yep. 1965, Gemini 5 is launched actually on August 21st. And that was with Gordon Cooper and Charles Conrad. Mm-hmm. So they're up in the sky, Gemini 5. So today, 1965... they are on a phone call with another astronaut, but the astronaut's underwater.
Wait, what?
He's under. I got you. It's Gordon Cooper, and he's in. He's via phone, and Cooper is talking to a friend astronaut, Scott Carpenter, who's been living for 15 days under the surface in C-Lab 2.
Man, oh man. I remember, Charles Pete Conrad and Gordon Cooper, but I don't remember that story at all. And of course, Scott Carpenter, yeah. But wow.
I wonder how they got that payphone.
Exactly.
His buddy down there, but he was living under there, and they were both friends because in 1959, they had both entered the astronaut program.
Yeah, so that's exactly. How they got sure.
That way. 1977, Cleveland Indians second baseman Dwayne Kuiper, mm-hmm. really not well known, but today he gets rushed to bat. He's second up to bat, and it was for some reason he was warming up, and the first hitter made a quick out, mm-hmm. and so he went up and it was going out, and the manager yelled, "Just go ahead!" And I guess Dwayne was turning around saying, "You know what? I usually get more time to warm up. What's going on?" He said, "We want to get to this pitcher." Well, the Sox pitcher was Steve Stone.
Oh, well, of course. Legendary name in Chicago.
Exactly. So Dwayne Kuiper steps in, and with all this complaining, he hits a homer.
Of course he does.
Now, what's interesting? Why would Bill Shively bring up that? Because it's his first homer in 1,382 times. 4 years it took him.
Oh, my stars. And now poor Steve Stone. I'm sure at some point on a broadcast of either a Cubs or White Sox game, he had probably mentioned that.
Well, let me tell you what the rest of the story is with Mr. Kuiper. He spent 12 years in major leagues, and that was his only homer.
And here is Steve Stone, who would eventually win a Cy Young Award, is the one guy who gives up a home run to Dwayne Kuiper.
Yeah, and you wonder, if eventually he became like a batting instructor somewhere.
Right, exactly, yes.
next one is 2016, passing away at age 83 today, Jerome Cyberman.
Oh, all right. Who is Jerome Cyberman?
Well, let me give you some hints here. Jerome Cyberman, his name was changed in 1953, and it was changed by taking the last name of our town author, Thornton Wilder, and his relative was a bomber navigator, and his first name was Gene.
Gene Wilder. Wow, I didn't know he had what his real name was, but what a great actor. What a great comic actor. Of course, Willy Wonka. Who doesn't know him as Willy Wonka?
Yep, and Willy Wonka, of course, Blazing Saddles. Yeah. If you haven't seen that one and you want to laugh.
Yeah.
Or Young Frankenstein, 1974.
That one's awesome. That's Frankenstein.
Yeah, and then See No Evil or Hear No Evil.
Yeah,
that was
right. Richard Pryor.
That was something. And, of course, if you know this one, you probably can tell me the person that was married to.
She was on Saturday Night Live, and I can picture her, but I cannot come up with her name.
How about if I give the first name to you?
Okay.
Gilda.
Oh, Gilda Radner, yeah.
Yes. And they were in something very famous, starting for about 3 years, that everybody watched on Saturday night.
Saturday Night Live, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you wonder sometimes. And she was very young. She was very young when she passed.
She lost a battle to cancer. Yeah, in her 40s, I think.
Yep, so I'm going to end with this one. That's because I've been kind of stalling. I had to get this up on my... Says 2001, St. Louis Cardinals scored two runs on a strikeout.
What?
When runners who are breaking from first and second score, when Bobby Bonilla, pinch hitter, strikes out, throw his bat, and it goes down the third baseline, causes the third baseman to duck.
No.
While he's ducking, the catcher throws the ball in attempt to cut down the runner at third. Nobody there. Ball goes into left field. Runner score.
Oh, man. Well, I'd be happy for that team if it wasn't the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, yeah, and then the whole thing is, and I had to bring it up because it was on my thing. But
there you go.
Right. Anyway. That is my list for today, sir.
Darn fine list. Only going to add a few to it. 1964, Mary Poppins, the Walt Disney flick, premieres today with Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, and you know what? You can watch that, and that's a cool movie.
It is. No doubt about that. Let's Go Fly a Kite, I think, is my favorite song from Mary Poppins. But great tune. 1977, three people arrested in Memphis after trying to steal Elvis's body. It would be moved back to Graceland after the failed attempt. I don't know why they were looking for him. I still think he's at that Burger King in Kalamazoo, isn't he?
I am exactly thinking the same thing.
There you go.
And my brain was thinking, why are you over there?
Exactly.
Kalamazoo and a Burger King.
I have no idea. Oh, and in 1958, a guy named George Harrison joins a group called the Quarrymen. And there were some other ones already in that group, guys named Lennon and McCartney and Best and Sutcliffe. I wonder whatever happened to those guys.
I don't know, but I don't know where Quarrymen would have gone anyway.
You're right. Bill, that's what I've got today. Hey, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We will meet up on Thursday morning, my friend.
Yeah, and I just thought about this. I guess you wouldn't dig Quarrymen, would you?
There you go. I love that. Great way to end.